Hello to all. I'm Rafa Gonzalez, normally your producer and sidekick to Ollie, but on day two, I am on day two of filling in for him on the interview department. It's a Champions League Tuesday, and I'm definitely looking forward to some football a little bit later today for me at work. Obviously, you guys know I split my screens, usually picking up at least two games at a time. Anyways, and much like on Monday, I'm very, very happy to be talking to our guest today. He's an international football correspondent for Goal.com, and he's been making appearances on our program for over 3 years now. Chris Vokes, welcome to the show.
Hi, Rafa. How are you doing?
I'm living the dream, man. Living the dream. And again, it's such an honor to be talking to you, my man. First things first, have you been enjoying the cricket?
I enjoyed about the first day and a bit, but then it's gone a little bit off the boil for England. But I think England will still win it. Yeah, it's obviously turned me a bit nocturnal for the winter, but these things have to be done.
Fair enough. Now, I want to start things off in Rome. And in Serie A first. We mentioned it before we went on international break here on the show, and hope people caught it, our mention that basically Roman really needed to use this break to recharge themselves and gather themselves to keep pushing the top in Serie A. In fact, Ollie compared it to a long-distance cycling race, Chris, just so you know. Roma returned to action at the weekend and ended up with a scoreless draw against Cagliari. It seems like next weekend's away match at Atalanta is a must-win match for them before they face the likes of Fiorentina and Milan. Where do Roma go from here?
Well, it's really interesting, isn't it, that at the start of the season we gave Roma no hope. We said they were outsiders for Europe, let alone for the Champions League or for a title push. And yet those 10 wins on the trot at the start of the season have meant that we're looking at the last three games and saying that Roma are pretty much kind of up against it now. I actually wrote a piece just as Roma had made it 10 out of 10, saying that basically their job was to just keep winning, because there was kind of not too much hope that Juventus and Napoli would both let up. Napoli have a little bit in that, obviously, they got the disappointing defeat of Parma, and they were also taken apart by Juve, which was a little bit more expected than the Parma result. But Juve just keep going, and Roma were always going to have to just keep on that run and keep doing what they were doing. And lately, they've just been struggling for goals. They've still had showed some very good football and had large parts of the games that they've played. They've just not been turning those into goals, and having scored 24 goals in those first 10 games, they've only scored two in the last three, and that's what's kind of been their problem. And yes, they're missing Francesco Totti, but there's still goals in that side. And it's just a question now of them, can they get back to that goal-scoring form? Because obviously, they've still got the best defence in Europe. It's just about getting back on the goal trail now for them.
And what can you tell us about this richest man in China wanting to buy part of Roma? Is it speculation? I see a lot of reports of it being denied, but I also see a lot of these reports. So what is kind of going on there?
Everyone loves a good kind of rumor, don't they? Especially about things like this. In terms of Italian football at the moment, it's the kind of in thing. There's talk of Milan possibly changing hands at some point, or certainly changing direction, still under the Berlusconi regime for the time being. Obviously, Eric Toria has just come in at Inter to take over from Massimo Moratti. Roma obviously led the way in terms of their Uncle Sam, as they like to call Di Benedetto, with the new American regime. So it's a continuing trend. Whether they'll come in, it does seem like pure speculation at the moment, but that's not to say there's at least a couple of percent in that of some truth.
Sure. Well, on to Milan, you brought them up, and looking forward to tonight's match. Milan have now gone seven games without a win. When you see Milan in the headlines, it seems pretty doom and gloom, with the likes of former players calling out current players, reports of players late to training, which I know it was addressed by Allegri, but still, it also seems like the club is just a little distracted. What can we expect from Milan tonight? There was an online joke that was kind of going out where people were saying, Milan are almost looking forward to not playing. It's going to be nice to not play at the San Siro because they've been getting it from their own fans recently. But I know, as a Rangers supporter, and I hate to say this, but Celtic Park will be rocking. It's not going to be an easy walk in the park for them. And you have to think that Lennon and his boys must smell blood in the water, right? I mean, what can we expect from Milan tonight?
I expect everything and anything at the moment from Milan, I think is the quick answer to that. You know, such is the state of play at San Siro at the moment. There's just a bit of everything going on. As you say, they were kind of locked in, if you like, by their supporters at the weekend, and it took Christian Abbiati and Kaká to come out and speak to the lead ultras before they were allowed to leave. You know, there's the whole question of what's going on in training. There's question marks over Allegri's future. There's question marks over the boardroom. It's just like everything's going wrong. And I tweeted actually on Saturday night when they were drawing with Genoa, a 10-man Genoa for 50-odd minutes as well, that they just looked like a side who... It was like a torture to be asked to play football in the situation that they're in at the moment. And there was just no ease about what they were doing at all. It was like that football was the hardest thing in the world. When you're in good form, it looks like the easiest thing in the world.
Sure.
And that's where they're at the moment. It's just they're in such a slump, into the bottom half of the league. They're 14 points off a Champions League position. They're just in a complete and utter rut at the moment. And, you know, I'd still make them slight favourites to win against Celtic. But,
sure.
You know, you've got to question now if they don't quieten the Parkhead crowd early on, if they do trail at some point, do we really believe that Milan have the kind of enthusiasm and the belief that they can come back from behind? I'm not too sure that they do. And if they do lose to Celtic, it puts them in a difficult situation in terms of their future in the Champions League. And on top of their current form in the league as well, you've got to wonder just how soon it is before they lose patience with Massimiliano Allegri.
I'm so glad you brought up your Twitter, Chris, because my next question was going right there, actually. And we did not plan this. Please know, I'm not good at planning things ahead of time, so this was not planned. But I am going to quote your Twitter feed, Chris, with this one. And you can actually find Chris on Twitter, at Chris Folks. Chris Folks, all one word, with a K. But you have come out and tweeted this, and I quote, "If hashtag Milan lose to Celtic on Tuesday," I won't do any more hashtags. "If Milan lose to Celtic on Tuesday, Allegri should be looking for a new job by Wednesday lunchtime." Now, I recognize that Twitter gets a little bit out of hand from time to time, Chris, right? I understand that. But how serious is this result for Allegri? What kind of pressure is Allegri on? And if Milan lose, seriously, how will Volkstradamus be correct?
I've said for a long, long time now that Allegri is out of his comfort zone a little bit at Milan. I think he did very well. I gave him praise in the year that they won the title in 2010-11. The following season, yes, they had injury troubles and what have you, but he just didn't seem to know how to steer the ship on course when when things weren't going quite with them in the final third of the season in particular. And then the way that they've played over the last two seasons has just been phenomenally poor for the most part. I know they got into third place in the Champions League, but that was more out of the fact that there weren't genuine challenges for the third position, apart from kind of a Fiorentina side who, if it was the current Fiorentina side going in for a bit of a run with Milan at the end of the season right now, I'd be back in Fiorentina all the way. The problem with Allegri is a lot of people are kind of excusing Allegri for what's happened of late because of the sales of Zlatan Ibrahimovic and Thiago Silva and the fact that the club doesn't have an awful lot of money and that he's kind of had one hand tied behind his back. But that's still another hand to kind of direct operations in training, and still yet they concede goal after goal from set piece. There's just no organisation about them at all. There's not one player, I don't think, apart from Ignacio Abate, when Allegri first came in, he'd been pushed to right back by Leonardo from his original position of right wing, and he didn't look a right back at all. And then Allegri came in, he made Abate work with Mauro Tassotti in training, who of course was one of the great right backs of Milan history, and immediately got an improvement out of Abate over that first 6 or 8 months, and he looked a very, very good player. But even he's not come on again in the kind of 3 years since then. And there's not one other player, apart from Abate, who realistically you can look at in the Milan side and say they have improved as a result of the coaching of Massimiliano Allegri. And that is much of his job. What he does with them in training during the week, I couldn't really tell you. Last season, they were in a difficult position. Stefan El Shaarawy was the first to bail them out. It was a once-in-a-lifetime run from a 19-year-old, just turning 20-year-old. And then after that, they brought in Mario Balotelli. He got enough goals and penalties at the end of last season. I think it was 12 goals in 13 games that they were bailed out. It was nothing really to do with the coaching and the qualities of Massimiliano Allegri.
Well, moving on to the match, and I'm glad you spent some good time on Milan, because really, when Ollie hears this, he's going to turn over. It's fantastic. I love trashing Milan from time to time. On to the match of the evening, in my opinion, Dortmund play host to Napoli. You have Dortmund coming off of three straight losses, and need an absolute win to keep their Champions League campaign alive. What sort of match can we expect from these two tonight, Chris?
It's a tough one to call right now, given that Napoli have lost Matakanji for the game. It's one of those, given Dortmund's form, given the wiliness of Rafa Benitez, there's every chance that Napoli can get the result that they need from the game tonight. The question mark then is how will Dortmund react? Because they need to react. If they don't get something at all, if they don't get the 3 points out of the game tonight, that's then done and dusted. So it's as much now about how the Dortmund crowd lift their players, because, as you say, they've had a bit of a rotten run. They obviously lost that game to Arsenal, that having won at the Emirates, they'd have hoped for more from the home game. They were taken apart by Bayern. It's just now a question of how they react, because I think if they react well, then Napoli might find it quite difficult to play the game on their terms. But if Napoli can get on top of them early, then I still think that they can do something even without Hamsik. I think they've got enough in the likes of Higuain and Carajan and Gökhan İnler and Lorenzo Insigne that they can dictate terms if they're allowed to. But I think the pressure is really on the home side to dictate the terms for themselves.
Last question on Napoli, because I do want to get to a little bit of Juventus while I have you. One of the cool things I love about Champions League, Chris, for me, is not just the classy lineups that we come across and some of the major kind of player clashes that we see, but also the major clashes of big name managers with different philosophies and egos. Benitez has Napoli third in the table in Serie A. But does he have enough? Does that Spanish tactician, or we call him the fat Spanish waiter here on the show, does he have enough to best Jurgen Klopp? And what sort of pressures are on Napoli's manager tonight, if any at all?
I think he's got a very kind of clever tactical brain. He knows what's wrong almost immediately. He's very quick to... People used to call, for instance, Claudio Ranieri the Tinker Man, but it's the modern coach to be able to spot changes or spot mistakes or errors or things that are going wrong on your side and make changes immediately. And Benitez is good at that. He's very tactically clever. He's very good at having control of proceedings, and he's a great advocate of gaining control of a match. And that will stand Napoli in good stead, I think, if they can get control of the game. As I said, it's going to be a real test as to how Dortmund react to their recent results. I think that he's certainly got enough to get the result they need. He's got a great reputation, of course. He's got a great history with the Champions League, having done so well with Liverpool on one occasion in particular.
Yeah, one occasion.
The 2007 final as well. and the thing with Benitez is, you know, he's got a great cup record, and sometimes there's been years when they've been his teams have been a long way off in terms of league form. I think Liverpool finished about 30 odd points off the title winners in the year that they won the Champions League. He just seems to be able to get the very best out of his players on occasions like this, and it's going to be a real test of that, I think, against Dortmund.
All right, Juventus had or nicely handled a win at the weekend with Llorente really stepping up into the spotlight for me, bagging a goal and also an assist for Tevez. Quickly, Chris, what would be your preferred attacking partnership for Juventus? Because Llorente and Tevez seem to be pretty efficient at the weekend.
Yeah, those two are on fire at the moment. And although Tevez hasn't scored in like 4.5 years in the Champions League, it's surely only a matter of time, because he's playing that well for Juventus at the moment. as you say, Juventus come into great form. There was a bit of a question mark at the start of the season when Juventus kind of trained him into the kind of Juve philosophy. They seem to be getting there with him now, and he's really kind of bringing his best out for the club, and he's starting to look like a player who has actually been playing some football, because obviously with the difficulties he had with Bielsa, Athletic Bilbao, it meant that he very much did look like a player out of touch at the start of the season, having not played in so long. And I think, you know, the fact that they've got Vucinic and they've got Quagliarella and they've got Jovinko all waiting in the wings is great, but I think they are pretty much waiting. They're waiting because at this moment in time, Llorente and Tevez are just, by some distance, the best partnership that Juve can go for.
Sure, and I really wish I could spend a little bit more time talking to you about Tevez and just how quiet he's been. And when I mean quiet, I mean, you know, we're not seeing... we're not seeing that mercenary Tevez out yet, or I'm not seeing it, at least in the headlines. Anyways, I digress, though. Juventus slipped up when they went to Copenhagen, coming away with only a draw. Obviously, a little bit disappointing. Do you see any sort of slip-ups tonight? Any sort of surprises coming from the Copenhagen match? Or not? It's not tonight, tomorrow night. But do you see any surprises coming from that match?
My only surprise would be if Juve still less than three, to be quite honest. I know Copenhagen beat Galatasaray. I know Juve slipped up against them once, but just as last season against Nordjylland, Juve went to the same stadium, the Parken Stadion, and only got the 1-1 draw. But they really got the job done when they played in the home game. I think they'll do the same again this year. I think they'll really show that they've got a point to prove, and I think they'll get the result that they need. And the good thing for Juve is that victory for Copenhagen against Galatasaray, as much as it's put Juve bottom temporarily, it does actually favour Juve in that they then go to Galatasaray not needing to get all 3 points, and I think that can only be a good thing. I just don't see Juve not winning this game, to be honest.
All right, and finally, this is a bit selfish of me, but I went out on a limb basically in summer, Chris, and I made the statement that Juventus would make the final this season and take it all the way, Champions League. How far am I off?
About 2-3 rounds off. I'd say they're a decent bet for the quarterfinals, but there's still question marks over them. Conte clearly doesn't know whether he can get away with 5-2 in Europe, which is why he's tried to go with the back four in a couple of games against Real Madrid. And I think there's something in that. I think they need to change the system. They don't really have the players to fit the system to really change it too much, though, at the moment. I think a couple of years ago, they were in a great position to use their what the flexibility they had in their squad to make a good 4-3-3 side out of them. I don't think they have that anymore with the squad they have now. And so, you know, there's still a lot of question marks as to how they would really go into those final few rounds with a kind of very clear mindset. I just don't see that in them quite yet, and I think it probably would another transfer window or two to really get them into a position where you could say maybe, yeah, this is Juve's year. I think they're a little bit short at the moment.
Fair enough. Well, Chris, thank you very much for your time today, and I appreciate it. I know I abused it a little bit today. So, as always, thank you very much. I hope you enjoy the week of the football this week. What are you doing? What will you be writing on? Where can we find your work?
I'm on guard for anything that needs to be written immediately after full time in any of the games. So, if something pretty monumental happens in one of the games involving the Italian sides, then I'll be straight on that one on Tuesday and Wednesday.
Brilliant. Well, we look forward to it. I doubt very much that you'll celebrate a pagan holiday such as Thanksgiving, Chris, but eat a turkey sandwich on Thursday and think of us here in the States. Take care, my friend, and we'll speak soon.
Thanks a lot. Happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah, take care, Chris. That was Chris Vokes, Goal.com international correspondent. Again, he's been on the program for over 3 years. One of my favorites. Love him to death. And unfortunately, yes, one of Ollie's Sheffield Wednesday supporters. I don't know what to say, Ollie. Ollie, good luck to you, your Sheffield Wednesday, because I think they have a better chance than Milan at this point. Ow.